Well, greetings to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for taking your time to call in to the Daily Inspiration. And I trust that God will do that because His Word is true, His Word is sure, and His Word is like bread of life to us. And I know we've mentioned that many times, and it's worth repeating. The Word of God is the most precious thing that we can have in a physical sense in our hands. We have the Word of God, and He gives us instruction and direction straight from His Word, and He tells us how we need to live our lives here on this earth while we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ to come and to rule and reign forever. And I want to just take you quickly through a little history. I've been looking at how the Hebrews came out of Egypt. They were slaves there, and Moses led them out. God raised up Moses. He led them out of the Egyptian land there, and you know that story. It's a real common story. But then after Moses dies, then we have a general that takes over. His name is Joshua. And Joshua is now the leader in taking Moses' place. And as they continue the journey, they're going to go in and continue conquest of Canaan. They're going to go in and do exactly what the Lord had ordained for them to do. But I want to take a look at a particular story here. And again, it's a very familiar one. You know that the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River also, just as the Red Sea, only it was Joshua who was leading the people at this time. And God told him exactly how to do that, and you can read that story for yourself. You can turn to the book of Joshua and read. It's incredible history, and it's another lesson for us. The Old Testament gives us examples for us to be able to learn from. And I'm thankful for that, and I want to learn from it, and I'm sure that you do too. That's what we have God's Word for, is so that we can be instructed on how we live and what to do and what we should not do. We find that Jericho was a very great walled city, and you know the story of that also, that Joshua had a great victory. Jericho, the walls of Jericho fell down, and there was a tremendous victory there for them. And I'd like to just to read to you from Joshua chapter 6, and I'm going to read in verse 17. And this is talking about Jericho, and it says, "The city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." And so God was telling the people, now, I don't want you to take of the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron. Those are mine. Those belong to me. Okay, so the children of Israel, they do as they're commanded. They go through and they defeat Jericho with a decisive victory, an incredible miracle that God did there. And then I want to bring you up to chapter 7 here and just read a bit out of this. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Now, you remember that God said, do not take of the accursed thing, lest you become a curse, and Israel, you make Israel a curse and trouble it, as we just read. Verse 2 of chapter 7, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwelt on the other side Jordan. And Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Now, I want you to notice that this is a very common thing for a man. When a man comes up against trouble and tribulation and trials, he wants to go back. And he wants to just stay back in the foreground and not go forward with the things of the Lord. And you may experience that in your life. When you find that there's trouble, you tend to withdraw. Most people, not all, but most people have this tendency. You remember the Hebrews, this is another generation now with Joshua. All the men of war died off that Moses was leading, and now Joshua has this new group of people here. They're the offspring, and anyways, the first generation, when they were come across difficulties, what'd they do? They said, why didn't we stay in Egypt and be servants there? We were better off there. And that's the tendency that man has. When you come across difficulties, you tend to want to draw back and go back to what you remember, even though for them it was bondage. And that's what a man tends to do. And I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying tendency is to go back. And God doesn't have any pleasure in those that withdraw. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to be strong in Him and trust Him with everything we have. I'll continue in verse 9 here in a moment. But you see, now that this new generation is they're tempted with the same thing. Here's Joshua saying, "Oh to God that we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. It was good and peaceful there. We had victory over there. Now they come across a defeat." And Joshua is downcast. Verse 9, and he's saying, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Verse 9, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff, the very thing God told them not to do. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before the enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. This is serious stuff to God. It was a strong offense, disobedience. Verse 13, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the cursed thing from among you. And so, as you continue to read, you find that the Lord exposed the perpetrator, and there was judgment brought against Achan and his family and all that he possessed. And it was because there was disobedience in the land. There was something that took place that was forbidden of God. And I just want to say, what lesson can you and I learn in this, okay? I think it's pretty easy to draw some conclusions here. There are things in this world that are cursed. They are wicked, they're abomination to God, and I think most of you that would be listening here would identify with many of those things. I think you've probably lived a life of discipline and said, I'm not going there, I'm not going to do the things that the world does so quickly and so easily. And I didn't grow up in a plain setting. I came up through a whole different, I was in the Protestant evangelical churches, and there was a flood of people that just went straight for the television set and just soaked in all the garbage and the trash and the filth and the ungodliness that came across the screen there. It was vile and very wicked. And that there's a struggle even today for many that they justify it somehow in their hearts and their minds, even though I would believe probably almost everything that comes across there would some way or another come against Almighty God. It's a vile thing. And I'm sure that most of you listening would not have come up in those ways. And you know that. You see it. You identify with it very easily. Say, that's very worldly and it's wrong. But there's many people that have been able to just go in there and justify their works. And then there's a callous effect that comes and a hardness of heart that comes. And they'll argue with you and say it's okay and this and that and whatever. It's an accursed thing. And I'm sure that you can recognize that. There's other examples that you would have no problem with being able to identify and say no. That the world is doing, that much of the evangelical church is doing. There's so much adultery and fornication and all manner of wickedness that's going on in this world around us, even in the so-called church. But God is saying the accursed thing makes you accursed, and God will not bless that. And those are things that I think you could identify with, but maybe there's something in our lives. Now, we've cut those things out, and we say no to those. We say no, we're going to live a holy life, sanctified, set apart for God. And then, before we know it, there's something that makes its way in. And it's an accursed thing. It's something that would blaspheme the name of God. And I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what the temptations would be for you. But I want you to be aware that there are temptations. There are going to be things that will try to come in and distract us from living for the holy Lord God of Israel, the one who created heaven and earth. And my suggestion to you and to myself and to my family, we need to pray and say, God, is there anything in our home that is defiling you, that is making us an accursed thing? And I'm not saying to add to the scriptures or take away from them. I'm just simply saying we need to have the attitude of saying, Lord, the things that we are encumbered with, the things that are in our homes, the things that are spoken through our mouths, the things that we have for literature, maybe things, books, maybe it's something of that nature. I don't know. The man has a tendency to wander off just like sheep. Jesus said, we're like sheep, and he's our shepherd. And he tries to keep us out of those danger zones, those dangerous places, and he herds us back into green pastures. But the thing that I'm asking of you today is that you would just lay out your heart before God, ask him, is there something in my life that would defile your kingdom, that would be a bad mark on your name? Maybe it's some thoughts that you struggle with, or maybe it's the way you treat people and the words that you say can be very harsh. The book of James tells us that we can murder and kill somebody with our tongue, and you know, I know we've talked about that before, but these are things that are common to man, and I say let's let God examine those things and to purge out so that we don't become an accursed thing, so that we don't find that God won't walk with us if we're not obedient to him and learning from the scriptures and continuing to purge out those things that are not pleasing to God. And it's not my job to make a list for you today, so I'm not making a very inclusive list. It's up to us to go before God. He will let you know. I remember going through this in different times, and we'd ask God, is there something in our home? Is there something here that you're not pleased with? And lo and behold, as we pray, as we seek God, He'll put it on our hearts. Say, what you remember? We have there's this. Do you think maybe that doesn't please God? And it doesn't have to be something terribly blatant. The gold and the silver and the bronze of Jericho was, if you just looked at it, you think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. We can use this. This is good for us. But God said it was a curse because it was from that wicked nation. And it had some use, but it was sanctified to the Lord. In fact, he said it goes into the treasury of the house of the Lord. So it was useful. It was just forbidden for the people. And so I'm just saying that to say it doesn't have to be something that's very blatant. It can be a number of things that God wants to purge out of your life. And that's not something that we are to push onto other people and say, oh, you shouldn't. If God gives you a strong conviction about it, share it with brothers. But let them work it out with God in their hearts. Encourage them all you can. Pray for them. And let God do the work. Let him begin it in our hearts. If we do that, God will show us things that would drag us down, that would cause us to stray off the path of righteousness. The straight and the narrow will get off into things that will snare us and catch us if we're not careful. And I just want to encourage you today, don't be downcast and discouraged. But look to the Lord God of Israel. He wants to purge. He wants to cleanse. He wants to do that work in your heart and in mine and all those that name the name of Jesus Christ. And he will do it. And he'll refine us. And he'll prepare us for that day when we go to be with him eternally. I pray this will be a blessing for you as you search your heart, as you go through and purge the things in your life and ask God to cleanse you. And if God doesn't put anything on your heart, then praise God. Just stay alert. Watch and pray. And don't let the enemy come in and subtly lure you off the path, because that's what he loves to do. He gets you off the path, then you're in trouble. And so may God bless you as you pour out your heart to him, as you let him lead and guide you in the steps of righteousness, the path of Jesus Christ, our holy Lord and Savior. He gave us the example. And may God strengthen you as you look to him for all these things. God bless you.